Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But first, we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We bring in one of my favorite dudes, John Costco of Pro Football Focus. What's going on with you today, John?
Just had a good Thanksgiving. What's going on with you, Garrett?
Hey, man, good, man. I hope everything went well with you and your family. Hope all is well. I hope you had a great, blessed time. And I hope you ate some mass amounts of food for me.
Oh, definitely did. I cooked up a lot of food, good old big turkey, all pretty much the traditional stuff. So, yeah, I hope you had a good one as well.
Yeah, man. What is your go-to meal? What is your go-to thing? What is it? What's something you got to have on Thanksgiving to make Thanksgiving?
For me, I love the sweet potatoes. And I do it with just like a normal, like mashed sweet potato, not like your like sweet dish where you have the marshmallows on top. I don't do it like that. I like them more savory, and I love those. So
my man,
I do that every year.
My brother, sweet potatoes. Shout out to John Costco. I'm a sweet potato guy myself. You know,
awesome.
we got a lot in common. One of the things we do have in common is checking out the Browns and breaking down the Browns. They got a game and an opportunity that what I'm branding as a reset point for the Cleveland Browns. They've been able to dig their way out of a big time rut, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Three game winning streak against a team in the Buffalo Bills that look like that they're a team that is legit 8-3 in the league. Just come off the Thanksgiving Day win against the Dallas Cowboys at Dallas, big time win. The Browns have also earlier in the season been able to show up and beat the Baltimore Ravens, which looks like one of the best wins of the year. The way Baltimore and Lamar Jackson are playing, what are some things that the Browns have been doing in these last three games that have made them more successful in this three-game winning streak than earlier in the season?
I think it's actually pretty simple. They haven't turned the ball over, and they're not committing the egregious penalties. And then because of that, they're able to run their offense more consistently. I mean, you definitely saw it in this game against Miami, and yeah, it's the Miami Dolphins, and they're a team that really just doesn't have the talent and the horses to keep up with the Browns, but essentially, you don't shoot yourselves in the foot, and you have always going to have yourself a chance to win the game. And that's what they've done these last three games. They even did it against the Broncos. They just didn't execute properly in the, obviously in the red zone, coming away with a bunch of field goals instead of touchdowns there. That game would have been won there. So essentially, it's a simple thing of being able to execute in situational football where they're executing in the red zone in third down situations and in the 2 minute and coming out fast as well. So it's pretty simple. And obviously they've just been playing better because of that. When you focus on taking care of the little details, you win games and you can win close games. They're currently, coming into this three game winning streak, they were 0-3 in one score games. And they're now, they did win that once close one against Buffalo. It was a close score game against the Steelers until that late touchdown, but really, that's the difference between winning and losing in the NFL is just taking care of those details like that.
When you look at it and you talk about Baker Mayfield and what he's been able to do the last couple games, during the first part of the year, we talked to, week by week, and we said, hey, I used to ask you, man, what's going on with Baker, man? Why does he not look like the Baker from last year? During the last couple of games, I think he's thrown through for 320 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. Last game against the Dolphins. Granted, it is the Dolphins. However, when you look at his performance the last three games, how has he looked as far as his footwork, as far as his getting rid of the ball in the pocket, and what are some things as far as his grades are concerned that you saw in the last few games or the second part of the season?
He's doing the detail test stuff better. I think he still can improve on those things. The footwork is better. He's in better rhythm and timing with the receivers in the offense. He's not taking as deep a drops as he had been early in the year. So a lot of the pressure and the sacks that he was taking early in the year were because he was taking these 11-yard drops. And as you know, if you're dropping 11 yards, no offensive lineman can block that, especially offensive tackles that you aren't having elite guys out there. You have to get into that, you know, 7 to 9 yard range where you can, you know, where your offensive lineman can expect you to be. And so that was part of that issue there. Recently in this 3-game winning streak, they've been running play action pass a ton. 44% of their pat dropbacks have been play action, and he's actually grading extremely well doing so at a 92.0. When they don't use play action, it's actually, it hasn't been good at all. It's at 55.0. So the more play action for Baker Mayfield is showing that they're getting these guys open. It's getting them into a better rhythm and timing. They're figuring these things out. So those are the couple of things that have really stood out to me. Because of that, he's just been more accurate, and he's looking like himself from last year. He's not quite there yet. This game against Miami was a good step in that direction. He had an 89.3 grade, which was the third highest grade by a quarterback of the week. So that's progress, and you hopefully continue to see that. And you saw that even against Buffalo, where he was much more accurate. Had a couple of bad throws in there that he got away with that were interceptions, but. And then also had a couple of big-time throws against the Steelers as well. So if he can continue to do those things, obviously the Browns have a really good chance to win, you know, all their games moving forward.
Talking to John Costco in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, play action, we talked about it segues perfectly into, you know, you talk about the play action game, and to run play action, you got to be able to run the football. One of the things that we've seen is, you know, it seems like Nick Chubb went over 1,000 yards in like 2 seconds. Like, you know, I mean, he's one of the top rushers in the league. And for my money, I always say it. I mean, he just looks like a guy who just does not go down on the first hit. He just looks like a guy who runs through tackles. And my eyes are telling me that when I see him and Kareem Hunt in the backfield, that they just run so hard. And I'm like, they have to be probably one of the best tandems in the league as far as their skill set, as far as what they bring to the table. Where do you have, you know, kind of Nick Chubb as far as, you know, his ranking right now during the season compared to some guys like Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, maybe Leonard Fournette, some of those guys who are more household names?
Well, Nick Chubb is the number one graded running back as a runner this year, so that's where we have him at. His receiving game is not as good as, you know, some of the other guys like a Josh Jacobs or the Dalvin Cook or, you know, Christian McCaffrey. So then his grade isn't his overall grade isn't quite as high as theirs, but at 88.2, when he runs the ball, it's the best in the NFL. He forces missed tackles, you know, just as good as the best of them. He's at the second highest in the NFL this year at 48. He makes yard after contact at 3.64 per carry, which is also one of the tops in the NFL. So his numbers are fantastic. He's, you know, other than those three fumbles that he had, he's been just, you know, the best running back in the NFL when you run the ball. As for Kareem Hunt, he doesn't have enough carries to qualify yet for where his ranking would be, but he's been doing well. He's at a 74.2 when he runs the ball. He's making fantastic catches out of the backfield. So he's that tandem, once, especially now that they're gelling together and they're out on the field, it's been really deadly for this Cleveland offense. They've been one of the best offenses in the NFL when they're both on the field, they can only get better moving forward.
You know, one of the big storylines was the Cleveland Browns were going to go back and they were going to go to Pittsburgh and they were going to face Mason Rudolph in a revenge game. Not so fast, my friend, in my Lee Corso voice. it didn't happen that way. Mason Rudolph gets sat down. You know, they bring in a guy named Hodges. Can you tell me who is this Hodges guy? Did you know anything about him before the season, maybe going back to college? And secondly, what were some of the things that kind of, you know, got Mason Rudolph sat down? Besides the fact that he's a turnover machine, what are some things that got him into trouble and gets him to lose his job?
Well, so going to Hodges, we, you know, I came out of Samford, not really much tape on Samford because we don't grade that level of football. We would have one game on them this year. So it's an FCS program that we don't study because what we do in college is the FBS schools, which is the Auburns and the Alabamas of the world. So Hodges coming out of college, he was not on our radar at all. So we do have obviously tape on him because he played in the NFL this year, and it hasn't been good. They were protecting him and giving him a lot of easy throws. And obviously you saw the one big touchdown pass from last week against the Bengals that basically won them the game. But his overall grade this year is a 56.5. It wasn't much better in the preseason. So he's not a guy that has, at least so far on 40 passes, which is a very small sample size, done much with them. And he's been protected by the scheme. They do a lot of the pop passes, a lot of screens, a lot of short yardage type stuff to help him get into the rhythm game. So he's not a guy that you really, at least at this point, hasn't shown much to worry about. He does complete a large percentage of his passes at 67.5, but again, that's on 40 passes. Now, Mason Rudolph, he was obviously a turnover machine, but you know, you look at, and that's only really been in recent weeks. He has 12 touchdowns and 9 interception ratio, but he's thrown a lot of turnover worthy throws that have been pretty lucky to not actually result in interceptions. In obviously the past 2 weeks since the Browns and the Bengals, those that has changed where he, all that good luck he was having went away. He doesn't navigate the pocket very well. He takes on a lot of sacks. He takes a lot of hits that really are on him and not his offensive line. So he makes his offensive line worse. And then he has a deep ball accuracy that isn't quite there, and that's something that coming out of college, we at PFF thought that Mason Rudolph would be really good at, because he did have a really good deep ball in college. So it didn't materialize in the NFL. Obviously you're not going to have these wide open guys down, streaking down the field like he did at Oklahoma State. So not taking care of the ball is obviously a big thing for a quarterback, but then when you're also taking unnecessary sacks, fumbling the ball in the pocket and with poor pocket awareness, that really kind of hurts your team. I think those are some of the main reasons why he was benched. His play was just overall poor at a 50.5.
I think when you look at Mason Rudolph and you're just like, okay, either way you put him or Hodges out there, this is a game that the Browns should win, in my opinion. I think the Browns have an opportunity to win. And I think 6-6, if they can get back to 6-6, they have a real opportunity to start talking about, playoffs. They need some help. But 6-6 gets them to starting feeling good about themselves and gives you a realistic chance. I want to go around the league a little bit and talk about some of the contending teams. Out of the teams that you look at in the AFC and the NFC, we had an opportunity to see the 49ers, last week kind of just put it on the Packers. They're really – 49ers, the game they played the Browns, we were upset that they did the Browns that dirty, but now we're looking back at it saying, wow, that was the 49ers are the real deal. Packers still have a really good record. You have guys sitting out there like the Patriots, the Ravens, I think they have 8 wins, 9 wins maybe. They may have 8 or 9 wins. And then you still have teams like the Bills who are, only have 3 losses on their season. Which teams out there do you think are the elite teams, and which teams do you think a couple sleeper teams that you may think people aren't really giving a lot of credit to, but can make a little noise moving down and going towards the playoffs?
Yeah, I think the elite teams right now are the 49ers, the Saints, the Patriots, and the Ravens. I think that's a pretty much a consensus thing. I think some people put in there the Seahawks. I'm not quite there with them yet. Neither are we at PFF, mainly because of the way they run. They don't have the elite defense. They have quite a below average, league level defense. But they do have Russell Wilson, who is the MVP this year. I know a lot of people want to put Lamar Jackson there, and he's been fantastic. He's actually our second graded quarterback in the NFL. But Russell Wilson's just been in a little bit bigger of a level than what he's done. So, you have the 4 teams and then maybe the Seahawks. As for sleepers, it's tough to say because I think, you know, with the Browns, if they can get into the playoffs, obviously you have the offensive firepower there. You look at like the Raiders, they even have like some offensive firepower that they can rely on too. They've had a really surprising offense this year. Another team that, you know, but the biggest sleeper I would say that probably nobody's talking about are the Kansas City Chiefs, because of obviously Patrick Mahomes and, you know, him missing a couple of games because of dislocated kneecap, really kind of, you know, they lost the game there. He came back from it. They lost that game there. So they, you know, at 7-4, they really could easily make a run. They could win out here. They have the Patriots here, in a couple of weeks. If they beat the Patriots there, go to get the 12-4, that could get them that first round bye, depending on what happens with the Ravens and the Patriots in the conference. But they have obviously the offense that to be able to put to get them to the Super Bowl and win it all. Their defense is the only thing that's holding them back, and it has been better in recent weeks. So the Chiefs, and but probably, you know, because of Patrick Mahomes, are the biggest sleeper and probably the biggest, you know, longer shot to be able to win it all.
All right, John. What do you got for a score and for the Browns and the Steelers? What do you got as a prediction?
But I think this is going to be a dogfight. You know, a lot of people think that this is going to be a rout, or you know, but you saw what happened in, you know, a couple, you know, 2 games ago where it was 21-7 when it was really 14-7 for, you know, good part of the second half. And I think this is going to be a lot of that same type of game. I'm looking at it to be more of like a 17-13 type maybe victory for the Browns. It's not going to be easy because this defense is very good, and now they're playing at home, which is they're going to be even better. So it's going to be a tight one.
All right, man. I appreciate you. We will reconvene, and we'll follow back up with you next week.
All right. Always a pleasure, Garrett.
All right, man. Have a good, safe, and rest of your weekend.
You too.
All right. John Costco on the Chrysler North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.